podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the midweek fix for this Tuesday night. This week, we've got Liverpool playing tomorrow night. I'm your host, Gavin. You're going to see who's with me now in a couple of seconds. Tonight, we're actually going to look at Liverpool versus Porto in the Champions League at Anfield tomorrow night, and also the players returning. Good news on a couple of players today, apparently. And a look ahead to the weekend with Southampton. If you're in the chat there, hit the like button. If you're not subscribed, subscribe. And if you want to share it, you can absolutely share it. We've just done a tweet on Twitter. With me, of course, is Kev, is Chris, is Conroy. And we're going to have a lovely chat about the Reds not really caring about the Champions League because they don't even need to play these two games, but they're going to anyway. I'm delighted. It's a lovely feeling to be going into game day five or match week five or whatever they call it. And having nothing to care about. It's not like Liverpool. Liverpool usually leave it till about the 85th minute in game week six when they need about four goals and fucking, you know, three snookers to get through. But it's nice to be in this position this season, and it fell into place nicely because of the injuries we have and things like that. So, Conroy, haven't spoken to you in a little while. How nice is it to be going to this game? And not that it means nothing, but just nice, relaxing Wednesday night watching the Reds. It's been a long time.
Yeah, no, it's good, Gav. It's kind of, even you mentioned it there, when we won the Champions League, the Gerrard goal against Olympiacos, 80th minute. And then, if I'm correct, it was Napoli, was it? With Alisson Becker's save.
Yep.
We won it last time as well against Napoli, Milik in the like 85th minute. So, yeah, we don't usually do it the easy way, to be honest. There's a Liverpool way at times. That has got better the last couple of years, don't get me wrong. So it's lovely to go into a game where there's not a fear of injury. However, Michelin sticks in my mind like a sore thumb from last year. So hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah, listen, it's something that's been doing the rounds, isn't it? Since the final whistle against Arsenal. Looking forward to this game. Who's he going to play? Who's he not going to play? The game against Midtjylland where, of course, Jota gets injured and is out for a couple of months. David Lennon says, I hope Gav doesn't shout at me tonight. Well,
I'll shout at you.
Did I shout at him? I don't think I did. I think he just asked a silly question and I kind of answered him. But I don't know. I'll try not to, Dave. I'll tell you what, Red Steve is nice to me, I'll be nice to you. How does that sound? Because me and Steve have this relationship where he just thinks I'm
sorry,
a prick.
Dave.
And the chances are he's probably right, but I still have to fight back a little bit against Red Steve, right, to be perfectly honest.
Red Steve's going after me today.
There you go. Yeah, he's being punted out of the big room. So, little update. Chris, 3 years after moving into the gaff, has decided. Is it 3 years after moving into the house?
4 years.
4 years. He's decided that room that said office on the outside of it, or here's a big space to use for your podcast, has decided to go and do it now.
It took 4 years, so I had to clean it out.
Yeah. So instead of kicking the wife and child into that room he's now in while he's doing podcasts, he's going into the room he's meant to be in, which is a fucking huge result, in fairness. But look, it's we could do this all night. I'd do this rather than the football, to be honest with you. But
it's Chris, more interesting, isn't it?
Chris, Let's get into it about the game, right? There is stuff riding on it because Porto need a result. The way the group stands, they need a result because they want to take. I think if they win, they take it down to the game against Atletico in Portugal. The next game, is that right?
Yeah, they're a point ahead of Madrid at the moment, I think.
Yeah, so they need it. So that they if they get a win, it'll put them in a nice position because you expect Madrid to win a home to Milan tomorrow night, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
But Chris, looking at it, first of all, the Porto will come to win. There's no doubt about that. There's been a lot around, you know, who do we play? Who do we not play? You know, the prize money on offer, it's nearly £2 million a game. Does that come in? We've seen loads of quotes from Klopp and he's kind of being a bit bullish about these things. What way do you actually see him approaching this?
I think he does a halfway house. I think there will be people lose their shit, there will be some experienced players that will play. I think partly because the fringe players that have liked to have played, the likes of Jones, aren't fit. So I think he's going to have his hands tied. And also he did sort of hint, I think I saw the chap from the Mirror tweeted it saying, it sort of hinted going, we want to respect the Champions League, but also we've got to look after ourselves, which is kind of a little bit of a first time Klopp's hinted going, yeah, I'm not going to play all the big lads. Like, I'd be surprised if you see Alisson or Van Dijk play. And I wonder if he might not risk Jota. And the only one I probably wouldn't risk is Fabinho, because to be honest, we've seen now, me and Kev talked about it on the Friday show, when Fabinho plays well, Liverpool are a different animal.
Mm. David Lennon wants to know, can you speak to the Day Trippers HR department? Phil is the head of the HR department. If you want to brave a conversation with Phil at any stage, let me know and I will put you in contact with him. A direct line as well. So
I know a good therapist as well.
Well, you need a fucking therapist. I have to speak to Phil, to be perfectly honest with you. It depends which one you get, because as we know, there's about 7 or 8 Phils within that one body. So there you go. Look, you talk about different players and stuff like that. Kev, I'll come to you. Rhythm. Because it's a huge thing. We've seen some articles on Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain before the Arsenal game and afterwards about how rhythm is a massive thing. From, you know, people will throw at him that, you know, he's not there enough to get into a rhythm, but he likes constantly playing. He feels that when he's playing that way all the time, he gets into a rhythm and he improves all the time. How big is that in Klopp's thinking? Because he is probably looking at the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain, Thiago, in particular Fabinho, who takes a couple of games to get back and might be needed there, Tsimikas, who's come in for Robertson, or do you bring back Robertson in? There's loads of little bits and pieces here aside from just rest everyone. There's loads of little caveats to it, isn't there?
I think the beauty about tomorrow night is what Klopp says to the players and what Klopp tells the press. Klopp is a serial liar, we all know this,
correct?
You know, and he will lie to your face. I know, everyone hangs.
No one believes it.
I mean, do people honestly think that the first thought going through Jurgen Klopp's mind when he comes off of a post-match interview is, right, if I say the £2.5 million, they're going to start thinking that I'm picking a side to get £2.5 million? He doesn't, he's rocks. He'll pick what side is nowhere near the red list, hopefully, but enough to win a game. Fabinho is a rhythm player, as well as Ox, and Thiago needs the minutes. There's not an awful lot of choices. The likes of James Milner is back training, but I wouldn't mind seeing him on the bench, come on for the last half hour, if need be. But there's no point in risking any of these lads. And with the 5 subs, you can give players an hour. You know, and I don't believe at this type of the season now, when we're going to be playing a game every 3 or 4 days, that they're going to training to gain fitness. You know, their fitness, they're going to training to cool down, massage, work on tactics or whatever, but they're not doing massive fitness drills. Slight bit of ball work and that's about it. They're gaining their fitness, their match fitness, through playing games. And I guarantee you, Mo Salah and Sadio Mane will be chomping at the bit tomorrow night. You know, there's no doubt that they'll want to play. This is the Champions League still. It's not a friendly. It's not a turn up in a gimme game. You know, you're playing in the Champions League and these players get however many chances a season to play in this competition, and they know they'll want to take advantage of it tomorrow night. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if he went one. It depends a lot, I think, with the front players on Origi. Because Origi only had a dead leg. If that was a dead leg and you're over it in a couple of days, then you could play one and then play Tacky and Divock. If it's more than that, then two of them have to play. There is nobody else.
It's Thiago's hair asked this question. Why is Stiff on Mac banned from this channel but not the other new channel, The Man on Gav? I don't think he is banned from this channel, but if he is, I'll find out and I'll unban him. I did see him yesterday on The Man on Football channel making a comment, so I'll make sure he gets unbanned if he is. He was probably fucking absolutely lashing the caps lock out of it, and somebody just got a pain in their arse from him. And T. Jess asks, let me see. He asked this. We might as well do some admin on air. Has Jamie stopped hosting the midweek fix, enjoyed the extra analysis when he did it? Yes, he has, because Jamie coaches a young football side, plays for a football side, works all mad hours as well. So he's very upfront with this and just says, look, I'm up to my eyes, which is absolutely fine. But on the extra analysis, I get you. We've been a bit lazy over the last couple of weeks because we've been mad busy. But trust me, from next week, you're going to have all sorts of analysis and stats and all sorts of mess, and we're going to get back.
It also helps when we have a load of games to analyze.
Yeah,
when you're
yeah.
Coming off the back of an international break,
exactly.
Not really enough. But you can do it.
Yeah, it's just one of those things over the last couple of weeks. But don't worry about it. We'd be lashing all the mad stuff at you next week, and then you'd be giving out tedious because there's too much of it. Which would be the crack. I'm a bit torn on this, and I'll tell you why. And Conor, I'll come to you. The 2.5 million quid thing is annoying me. And somebody said to me earlier on today, if Liverpool went through this group with 3 wins and a draw, okay, and 2 losses, surely the 4 wins we have already makes you more money than the 3 wins and a loss and a draw, right? So we're already up on what you usually expect to come out of the group. So is the money thing just something to throw out there?
I think so. I think I actually thought about this in the past, but the more I think about it, I kind of feel that it's a bit smoke and mirrors from Klopp to a certain extent. I feel like you'll put some players out there, but I'm not going to say my team now, but I've looked into it and the actual people who are available because of the B list with the Champions League squad, I feel like there is quite a few options where you can actually give some players a proper experience and test them and how they'll do it. The 2 million thing, at the start, I kind of thought, oh, you know, that's what, 5 million, and the way we ran that, that's really important. However, I think when we're competing for a Champions League, the Premier League, and then you've got Southampton the following week, which is actually every game's massive now in the Premier League, because at the moment, it's very, very easy for City and Liverpool not to not turn up one week, and Chelsea end up being, what, 7-8 points ahead. So on that basis, I feel like I've changed my mind on it now. I feel like that 2 million will not be looked at as favourably. And if we end up losing these 2 games, listen, you want to win every game, but I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'll be perfectly honest with you.
Kevin Ball says 2.5 million is a worth it if Salah, VVD or Fab get a serious injury.
That's a great point,
and not only that, on top of the injury, like, it could cost you a place or 2 places in the Premier League, which is well more. The difference in that is well more than 2 million quid, honestly, because if you're at the top 2 of the Premier League and you're flying, you get shown every single week. We've seen it with Liverpool. You get shown every single week and you make a fortune. If you're down there and you're kind of, you know, you'll make fourth, but you're not really pushing for this, TV companies aren't as interested and you don't get as much money. Someone's asked about the Man on Football show. I think it was Jason. Red Steve says, yeah, it's the Man on Football show, Jason. Link is in description. It is. It's in the show description if you want to click on it afterwards and you get a link to the channel. Go on, Conor, have something to say.
It's not related. I just wanted to say I was watching the last week of the quizzes. I was at my work on Monday and I was watching the Premier League quiz, and I've got to be honest, it's just seeing Kev and yourself, that might have been the sponsor round. Davo was next level. Like, I have no idea how he's
Davo actually told me that he doesn't. He said, Gav, like, the 90s for some reason
sticks in his
head.
He
said the 2000s on good to mid 2000s. He said the last 15 years, he said, don't ask me what was on the jersey. Don't ask me who played. He said, it's just, and I understand because I get like that with a certain periods of time where I'm really good at, and then there's other periods of time where I'm like, what? Like, I can tell you, if you ask me about Liverpool, say 90, maybe 96 to maybe 99, I'm awful. I don't know what it is. In 96, I was 14 to 17. I was probably out smoking and I wasn't watching enough football, maybe something like that. But then there's other bits each side that I'm just like,
it's clearing just, your head.
But it was next level stuff.
No, but all I'm saying is I got Thiago in the first goal. I don't know how no one got that. That was ridiculous. He literally scored a screamer at Old Trafford for Chelsea in his time, Thiago, and 64 goals. I don't know how no one got that one, but that,
the Portuguese lad Thiago off Chelsea.
Yeah. It was good laugh though, boys. I really enjoyed it, so I just want to say that.
I don't want to talk about it.
No, I'm not meaning you, Kev.
I have no problem talking about it because I am. Me and Kev beat Chris And then I took the win, despite Chris absolutely sabotaging the quiz last week. I claimed the win. Coming back from the death.
Yeah, so funny was, I was watching that quiz, and when he started talking about the shirt, I said, I'm sure I said 97, 98. And I looked at her, she went, oh, bollocks. I've done the type. I was trying to email. I was trying to email Keith really quick, going, that's the wrong gear. It's 97, 98.
It's when everybody went, Wigan sponsors Defo JJB at that time, and it was like, and it's like, I was like, no, it's not. But I know it was, but it was just like, in my head, Wigan's always been JJB.
Yeah,
just,
yeah. Went DW Sports.
Well, I promise the next international break. You see, a lot of channels in the international, I don't know how we've got onto this, but let's go with it. A lot of channels in the international break shut down. Not that they shut down, but they reduce their content and they don't do a lot of stuff different. They'll try fill stuff in. We just like having a laugh. We actually see it as a holiday where we just go, let's do quizzes and drafts and match it. And if there's a bit of football going on, we might throw that in somewhere, but we try just have a laugh. It's literally a chance for us all to sit around chatting, having a drink. That's basically what it is. But we've had loads of requests from people. We've had emails, we've had DMs on Twitter saying, can you do a fan one? Right? Now, I will do a fan one. But the problem is, the setup is one thing, right? But you have to be able to trust people because you're live. If they come out and say something ridiculous, we get screwed for it, right? So if there's anybody out there in the chat that would be interested in coming on and doing a fan quiz, it won't be Chris doing the questions, I can fucking guarantee it. But what we might do is we might bring two fans on with two of the day trippers and team them up. So a day tripper and a fan, and a day tripper and a fan, and have a 2-on-2 quiz in the next international break, because we want to try and involve people that watch every night. Laura's not allowed to play. No, she's banned. No chance. She's like Eric Cantona.
That was not allowed to come back. That was not allowed to come back after that performance. That was too good. Was it 35? I'm like, listen, you need to stop now, mate. You need to give a few questions away.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely ridiculous. I'll do the questions, and we will. We're going to do a couple of drafts, a couple of quizzes. We might think of other mad stuff to do as well. And if you're interested in coming on, we'll tell you nearer the time, and we get in contact with you. And what we do is we can actually do a test call with you to check your setup, and it's all good. But I swear to God, if you say something on air that gets me in trouble, I'll fucking hunt you down. I'll send Phil Casey out to you, and I swear to God, it's worth a prison.
Well, according to You Never Walk Alone 96, Phil Casey's after me. I think he is, to be fair.
Yeah, he is.
I've kept my head down for
it turns out Thiago's hair is stiff on Mac. I have no idea how Stefan Mac is banned off this channel because he's one of my favourite people on it. So I'll have a look. I'm nearly sure I can look through the banned people somewhere, and I'll unban you. But he says he's subscribed about 8 times on 8 different accounts to this channel. If you want to do another 4, 5, 6, 7,000 times, you can, and it'll bring our numbers up. But I'm only messing with you. I'll get it sorted for you, Stefan. Now, where were we? Liverpool v Porto. And there's loads of people want to come on the quiz. That's absolutely fine. Laura is more than welcome to come on.
Absolutely.
I doubt anyone will go up against her, I'm being honest with you. And I include everyone.
I'll team up with her straight away, right? Okay, so I'll volunteer to go with her, no problem.
Yeah, exactly. Let me see. This is a good point from Owen Bork. He says, you allowed Nilo on pods for years. I think he'll be safe. Yeah, but the thing is, there's a shitload of editing involved when Nilo's involved. Literally, the pod lasts an hour and you're 3 hours. Nilo, fucking absolute head case. But anyway, let's move on. Liverpool v Porto, I promise. Here we go, Liverpool v Porto. Kev, I'm going to come to you because just looking, let's go from back to front. So, Kevin Kelleher gets a start tomorrow night for me.
Yeah, has to.
Like, there's no risk in that for me.
No.
We've 3 keepers.
No, Adrian.
No, well, Adrian is our tour keeper, so there's no risk in it.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, he's been unlucky with at club level, and he's been unlucky at international level with the standard goalkeeper in front of him, in Gavin Bazunu.
He couldn't have got COVID at a worse time, because I think that's what ruled.
And hurt his hand as well?
He hurt his hand, and then he had a COVID issue. But whatever reason that Bazunu got in ahead of him, because it was due to be Kelleher, and Bazunu got in ahead of him, and there's no shift in him. You know, he's just been so good.
Ireland want to watch there, Kev. Ireland want to watch with that. What a keeper he is. Unbelievable.
He's on loan from Man City. I think he's in the League One. Plymouth, I think.
Portsmouth.
And it's a good education at that level, because you will be busy. But you know, Kelleher has to start just in case. You know, and that's the thing for someone like him, it's the just in case thing, because Alisson is with having had previous shoulder injuries, it's always a worry with the keeper. And yeah, he would definitely start for me.
He did well in Ajax last year, didn't he? He did well against Ajax last year as well. So we know he suits
the way we play, and you have to keep him interested as well. You know, I mean, we want him to stay. We don't want him to get to the summer and decide, look, I have to go and play somewhere else just to get minutes. You know, you got to be fair to him. So I think he will anyway. I'd be amazed if he doesn't. Then you move on to right back. As long as Nico Williams is fit, he starts.
Do you think
if
so?
He's not. Yeah, if he's not, then Trent starts.
We'll talk of James Milner being back in training today.
Yeah, but that's it. He's only back in training today. Yeah.
Okay.
And Klopp very rarely, if ever, throws someone in on the strength of one or two training sessions, especially someone coming back from a hamstring injury, is just not likely at all. Centre backs, Konate, and probably Joel Matip for me. Matip doesn't go away for internationals, and there's no reason why he shouldn't play. Klopp will probably play players based on their fitness at the minute, and if they're fit, they'll play.
So
there's no reason for that. There's no reason really why you wouldn't. And as long as Robbo is fit, if Robbo's fit, he could come in. If not, Tsimikas plays.
So just looking at the back line then. So Chris, I'll come to you. Are you playing Nico Williams, Konate?
I'm playing Nico Williams, Konate. I had Phillips and Tsimikas playing. Because my thought was, I'd actually just play Tsimikas for the next three games. He's played Arsenal, give him this one, give him Southampton, and give Robbo a proper rest. I know he's fit, but he plays all the time for Scotland, and this is the luxury we have of giving Robbo a rest, because we actually have
I wouldn't say he's fit, mate. He's been playing with injury for 3 years. Like, I don't think that's considered fit. I mean. Like, he's physically fit, but he needs a proper break. Like, he really needs a break.
I'd give him a break. I'd give him a break until after Southampton. Also, to be honest, he's a bit out of form anyway, so this is a bit of a carrot for Tsimikas, and so I'd start Tsimikas, but I think Phillips will start. I know it's Kev saying Matip's fit for the moment, but we all know what Matip's like. Three games a week is a bit of a risk with him. Why risk it? He could pull up against Southampton, but I'd rather it happen in a league game than in a dead rubber. So for me, I'd have Matip on the bench, and hopefully not use him.
There's a good argument for both ways. Like as Kev said, he doesn't go into international breaks, but Chris's argument that you rest him just wherever you can, I think is a good one as well, because like Matip hasn't gone into internationals in fucking years and he still gets injured. I don't think it's massively helped.
Yeah, but he hasn't been injured for a long time. I mean, this season, I don't think he's had any real sustained injury that I can think of anyway.
I think this season's the most he's played compared to the previous season.
Yeah, I think he might be over the worst of it, because it was a back problem that was the main problem, and that was causing the back issue that he had was causing the other issues with his lower legs. And anyone who's ever had a back problem, and if you're young enough to have never had one, then you're lucky. When you get a bit older, I promise you, a problem with your back can affect so many other parts of your body. And the long break that he's had and the strength and conditioning that he would have gone through in rehab looks to have fixed it for me. So I wouldn't be bothered either way. I'd be more worried if Virgil played.
The only thing with playing Phillips for me is it's sort of a little reward for what he did last season, which is you helped get us top four, and he did. Yeah. So your reward is you're going to play in Porto and you're going to get to do AC Milan away, which, you know, Nat Phillips 18 months ago would never think he's playing in the San Siro.
So that also keeps
him keen, because he knows he's fifth choice. So
he signed a new contract knowing that he wasn't going to play.
Mm. Yeah, but that's also a bit of squad harmony, isn't it?
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's ever kicking up a fuss about anything, so... I'll give Conroy the casting vote
on it in a second. But Antico says, lads, did you hear tonight Reading versus Sheffield United? A player had a on the pitch had a fit. I haven't heard anything about that.
No,
but if you want to look into it, Antico, and just I'll try look her up here where we're talking. But let us know because that's concerning.
You see that, guys. But like, I mean, most workplaces having someone who's got like seizures is not like the most uncommon thing. Like, it's not necessarily brought on by something. It could be undetected. It could be epilepsy. Anything. Like, it's not. My work people do have, like, I've had people who've had fits. It's not like the most unordinary thing. I'd say it's more common, like, now because people want to react to it. So it could be something underlying. I couldn't say doctors would notice it because it can be dormant and undetected.
So, yeah, and it usually is in footballers because, they're checked so often medically, constantly checked. So usually it's Jonathan follows up here. He said it's John Fleck, the Sheffield United.
Scottish international.
Yeah, John Fleck. I only watched him playing against Coventry at the weekend. We hope John Fleck is well. Yeah,
all the best.
And again, like, Sheffield United will be checking their players like daily or weekly. You know, they'd have stats on them. And
it can happen at different times.
It can happen anyone or anything.
Epilepsy with a floodlight. Anything, like, there's lots of dissociative seizures, aggressive seizures. I don't know if it was that, but there's lots that can just happen. It's but as I say, if that's going to happen, he's on a football pitch with most buildings would have first aiders to deal with it, but they'll have a full medical team, so he'll be in the correct hands.
Yeah, Stephen Dunn says he's in hospital, conscious and talking. That's the latest, so that's good.
That's important.
So Conroy, coming back to you on the back four. Somebody mentioned Beck. Could Beck win at left back and just rest both your left back?
No, he'd be playing with the under-19s.
Yeah, he could be, yeah, because they need a result as well. But Conroy, are you agreed on Nico Williams? Are you agreed on Konaté?
Absolutely, Nico Williams. Nico Williams has probably been the best form he's been in about a year and a half for Wales at left wing back. Been very good. I think he obviously couldn't make the squad at the weekend, but I think the rumours were he'd be okay for midweek unless anything changes tomorrow. Nico Williams definitely starts. This is the most confident he's been in about a year and a half as well. Mm. So bear in mind, this is a guy who went to the Euros, made a big defensive error, which basically ended the Wales qualifying campaign. He's been shaky at times for Liverpool. So I think that confidence, and he is very much a confidence player. He's very much an Aaron Ramsey confidence player. That's the one I see him. To me, sometimes you're like, how's he made it? And other times he looks very good. So I feel like you want to use that confidence. I'm not comparing him to Aaron Ramsey as a footballer, but I just remember Aaron Ramsey having that season.
Gareth Bale, man. It's Gareth Bale.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like Aaron Ramsey was like, he had that season, but it's more confidence. And I think you'll use Nico Williams to do that. I think you've got a shout there, Chris, with Phillips. Like, it makes sense to me to play Phillips.
Phillips comes into the reckoning because Joe Gomez is injured, right? I think you would have 100% seen Konaté Gomez. If he's not injured. But what do you do? Like, Conroy, I'm leaning towards him doing Phillips.
For me, Phillips and Konaté, I think you do that. And you might find that he uses Nat Phillips in other games as well this season, more difficult away games. He probably won't, but he's a good tool to have, and he's your fifth choice centre-back. I would play Phillips because it is a dead rubber and it doesn't matter, but we obviously want to compete. Phillips, Konaté, and left-back, I was going to say Beck, but you made the under-19s point because I'm kind of hammering the drum that Robbo needs a bit of rest anyway, so I always feel like he might save Tsimikas for the weekend. But then if you talk about the under-19s, that makes a lot of sense, so I would put Tsimikas. I actually, all jokes aside, I wouldn't put Robbo in there. Like, I feel like he just needs to stay away and rest now.
I'm fully on that because I'm fully behind it for the simple reason is Andy Robertson has played so much football over the last 4 years. He signed to Liverpool summer 17. And he's just like, I would say since Christmas 17, I can't remember him ever being out for a long time. And he's played. And then when I'm being the captain of Scotland, he's nearly expected to play every game. Even if they're true, he's the captain. The sort of way.
Yeah, and it's not usually that luxury with Scotland either.
No, it's not usually that luxury with Scotland, and they've been brilliant to get to where they are. We're only talking about them last week. But the thing there is that Scotland don't have that massive pool. Now, people will point out they have Robertson and Tierney, but they don't have that huge pool where they can just make sweeping changes. Now, they might be able to find some players where they can do something now, but they're going into a playoff now. So he's going to want to play in that and stuff like that. So I think I think it's a good time, like Chris says, to just go, listen, you've been away for Arsenal. You're not playing this. You're not playing the weekend. That's more or less 2 weeks you'll have off, you know, from playing football, and you can get back into a rhythm and training, because I think overall his form hasn't been great, but I think he just looks mentally drained. But
it's funny though, because he actually, seeing the five for Scotland, he's probably been his best Scotland form, which is, makes no sense at all, or his best form for since he's been captain, like with the Israel game, to assist in that, when we're down and out as well when that game came back, and even against Denmark and Moldova looked very good. But I just, as you see, I think Kev summed up the other day, it was like, it wasn't even a hamstring injury. It was equivalently just like, I don't know the medical term, but his legs were just...
Muscle fatigue.
Done. Muscle fatigue. Like, just done.
It is muscle
fatigue. He's just done that much. And it was like, you could tell he sat down and he was like, it was 1-0 against Denmark at the time. And it was like, the guy genuinely needs a rest. And I know Moore's came out that he actually has been playing for about a year, like playing through the pain as well. He just needs a rest. And 100% put Tsimikas in.
Okay, so we're going, I think the reason I go with Phillips is because if Joe Gomez is injured, all right, and I think that makes a bearing on it in a massive way. One, he can't play alongside Kanate, and two, if anything was to happen to Matip, you know what I mean, then you're down to, you're getting into the realms of Phillips is now third choice. Do you get me? He's not fifth choice anymore. He's third choice. And with the amount of games coming up, you could probably see him playing a good few games. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing with Phillips playing, but we've signed Kanate, and we have Van Dijk, and we have Gomez, and we have Matip for a reason. And I think overall, I think that's why he might go with Phillips. And Phillips has never done badly for us. So it's not like where you turn around and go, oh, Phillips is fucking, you know, terrible. He's not. And I think it'd be good for him beside Kanate as well. So we might go with that back four. Carl Robinson was straight in with a midfield show. He's ahead of the game here. He says, I go midfield of Morton, Henderson, Oxlade-Chamberlain, rest Fabinho. Kev, this comes back to rhythm, because the argument is that Fabinho plays and just keeps himself ticking over. And because when Fabinho gets into a rhythm, he's fucking ridiculously good.
Yeah.
But Cahill has a decent argument there.
No, I would have no problem playing Morton. I'd play Thiago, and I'd play Chamberlain.
Oh, so you're leaving Fabinho and Henderson.
I'd leave Fabinho and Henderson out, and Henderson could come on the hour. He's only played 10-15 minutes of the last game, and that was as Klopp said in his presser, it was just to see the game out, no more than that. Yeah. And even when he did come on, you did notice it. He stayed in the center circle and didn't really move. So I don't think he's ready to start anything. Thiago definitely needs minutes. You know, he's been out for a fair while. He's had one start. So he needs minutes. And it'd do Fabinho no harm to sit and watch for a while. And Tyler Morton has done okay whenever he's played. So let him play in the six and have Thiago and Ox either side of him.
You make a good argument there as well, in fairness. Chris, what are you looking at midfield? Because I think Tyler Morton, for me, should start. And I think that little 8 minutes or whatever plus injury time at the weekend was a little precursor to him starting tomorrow night. What way are you going? Because there's arguments to bring Henderson in and leave Fabinho there as well. There's arguments to do Ox and Thiago again to get them up to speed. And Ox is nearly coming out and saying he wants to fuck, just keep playing me and I'll be fine. What way are you going? Because I think it's a hard call in midfield.
Yeah, I thought Morton would start anyway. I had Henderson because he didn't play against Arsenal, he might need some minutes just to, you know, keep him a bit fresh. But Klopp was still a bit cagey about how fit he was. He said, like, it'll be a late call. I'm thinking, if it's a late call again on him,
it's a late call, you don't do it.
You're not gonna risk him. So then it probably is Thiago. I personally would like Thiago not to play. I know he's not had many minutes, but there is still a fear that he's susceptible to muscle injuries. Now, admittedly, he's only ever had one at Liverpool, but maybe I'm sort of thinking maybe it could be Thiago, Morton, and then probably Chamberlain. Because, like, again, with the five subs thing, you just tell Thiago you're literally doing an hour, don't exert yourself, and then maybe you give Henderson the last half hour. That's how you build Henderson up for Southampton.
Mm. I think it's interesting. I think, you know,
I'd
like to see Morton start, and I will put him in the six. I throw him right in there and go, right, there you go. Front of the back four in a Champions League game. Although, albeit it's nothing riding on it, but I put him in there. But then you have to look at what's around him, and they still need experience around them. I think Thiago is a good show. I think Thiago is a good show because he would nearly take control of that midfield as a senior man. It's just the third one. It's the third one. Like, Bonkers is agreeing with Kev. Kieran Thorne wants Thiago, Martin and Ox. I'm just terrified.
I don't think you have many options.
Yeah, I know. I think outside of that, you're probably looking at, it is just one.
It'd have to be Fabinho. If it's not, it'd have to be Fabinho and play Morton as one of the eights.
Because realistically, Milner's probably going to be fit for the weekend. I'm not saying he'll start the weekend, but he is another option at the weekend. I just don't see him starting. I could see Milner coming off the last 20 minutes, half an hour, just to get a bit of minutes in his legs. Okay. And also, so he can get booked after 5 seconds for cracking someone, because that's normally what he does.
Conroy, what is your preferred midfield?
I would actually have Henderson, Morton and Ox. I think that experience of Henderson would help Morton, because all jokes aside, like, the kid's been brilliant, but it's going to be different in a Champions League, standard match. However, I think with a late call for Henderson, he's probably kind of pushed that it's going to have to be Thiago. There's no way you're playing Fab tomorrow. I think that's a big mistake, you're playing him, because potentially getting injured, but then when he has got injured, we know what he's like. Sometimes he doesn't jump back in. He's not like a Matip. Sometimes he needs that rhythm. I mean, he's had some great games lately. He's had some terrible games. Let's not be around the bush. Mm. So I think we need to kind of keep that with him. And this is not a gamey chance for Fabinho. So I think it would end up being Thiago, Morton and Ox. And on that as well, that's a really good moment for Morton. Obviously, he's one of his, of course, he's going to say he's one of his favourite midfielders, but he is a world-class midfielder, so he is going to be an icon for a lot of kind of young players. But for him to play next to him, like, Thiago will be able to just kind of, like a metronome, control the game. So I think that would be my midfield. I would probably say Henderson, if he was... like available, like fit available and 100% fitness, but because he's not, I think it's going to be Thiago.
So are we nearly all agreed then? Martin, Thiago, Ox?
Yeah, I don't think there's any other midfielders, guys.
No, I think it's just a case of weighing up who you rest and where they are.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Fabinho, you know, back played against Arsenal, will play against Southampton and look really, really good against Arsenal, in fairness. And no coincidence that he plays for Brazil, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Their
yeah.
qualifier previous to coming back. And Henderson, you know, they weren't sure about him for the weekend anyway. So I don't know. I'm not sure of the risk of saying he wasn't sure for the weekend. He plays 15. We put him in. I'm not too sure. I think it's just a good chance to rest people and refresh things.
Don't even put Fabinho in the squad, Gav. Take him out of the squad. Put Milner in the bench. Don't even put Fabinho in the squad. He's not going to do that.
Well, we can have nine on the bench and we can make five. Nah,
he's not going to do that. But you know what I mean? Just don't put him on the pitch.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, unless something horrendous happens. But for me, it's just a case of, and we're going to need to do this. We were only talking about this last night on the forum. We're going to need to do this against Milan as well. We're going to have to weigh up who's fit, but who just needs that couple of days off, you know, and that couple of days could mean that they go for the next month, 6 weeks at full throttle and they're fine, you know, because we're getting into a mad series of games.
Milan could be easy potentially, because you should hopefully by then, Jones and Keita back as options, Milner fully fit.
Yeah.
So you can always go Morton, Milner, Jones.
Yeah.
Have fun.
And it's just a case of picking the games to rest, planning for the next month. You know, sort of way. I'm even looking, and I said this last night, and I don't know what people feel about it, but I have a feeling that League Cup quarterfinal against Leicester, I think you're going to see a week inside because of what's coming after. We play on the 26th, we play on the 28th, we play on January the 2nd. So after that game, we have three games in 9 days? Do you know what I mean? So it's our 3 games in 10 days, wherever it might be.
It'd be interesting because don't we play Leicester quite close together, League Cup and the league?
Yeah, we play Leicester on the 22nd, we play Leeds at home on the 26th, we're away to Leicester on the 28th, and then we're away to Chelsea on the 2nd of January. And how I remember them since last night, I don't know.
I've just got a feeling, I think it'd be a bit like this, Paul's game. I think it'd be a mixed bag.
Yeah.
A couple of experience heads.
Because we are going to have, a bit like going back to the 2 million quid, you have to weigh up, is the 2 million quid worth?
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with it.
You know, no, but what I'm saying is, like, when you're weighing stuff up or you're making an argument for it, you have to look and say, you know, Milan, Porto, you've put yourself in this position to be and to give yourself a chance to rotate if you want to rotate. And I think you have to take those opportunities. You really have to take those opportunities. Yeah. Kieran Thorne says there are 5 games in 2 weeks from the 19th of December. Yeah, it's there's loads.
It's too much.
Yeah, there's loads. There's the 19th, the 22nd, the 26th, the 28th, and the 2nd. I think,
but I think all like I think ours are fairly well spaced out.
They're not too bad. They're not.
I think some are a lot more than this one.
The Leeds 26th to Leicester 28th is the, you know,
the hardest one.
Sometimes you usually get 26th, 29th, and then the second, so you give that little break. But it's just the way it falls. Like I think we've got a good run the last couple of seasons.
Did you not have a good run last year as well, though? We're saying, I know it's always
but that's when all the players were dead and now they're back.
No, but what I mean is, like, we know what it's like in English football. This is the Christmas period. We shouldn't be shocked when we see the games back to back, because it's been that way for a long time.
Yeah, but I think the approach to it is, you know, if you look in 1920, we're in fucking Qatar or wherever we are playing the World Club Cup game, and we come back and we're thrown straight at Leicester on Boxing Day. You know what I mean? And we dealt with it and we went on. It's not that's the shock factor. It's actually, we all know what's coming, and it'll be worse next year when the World Cup ends on you're eating your Christmas dinner.
They don't help, Gav. They don't help with it, because other leagues have helped.
No, they don't. But
Holland's helped it when, I think, Ajax were on their campaign, didn't they? They worked the game so they could work it around.
Well, Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid were given nights off, weren't they, because of the last Champions League round. But the thing is, it's not so much the amount of fixtures. It's picking the right spots to make these changes, because we know what our squad is like. Not about depth and not about quality, but we just know there is players there that he'll need something. It's a bit like Ferguson used to do years ago. He used to send players off at Christmas and go, listen, fuck off. I'll see you in the middle of January. Yeah. When you come back, you'll be fine. And you've done that loads of times at Manchester United. You've done it with Ronaldo. But it's just about getting the right planning. And I think the League Cup game could be a mixed bag, and this and Milan is a definite opportunity to plan yourself properly going around Christmas. Go on, Conroy, you want to say something?
Just saying, maybe this is a good opportunity tomorrow, because I know we're going to talk about the front line, specifically we'll talk about the set Minamino, but I feel like, and if Origi plays or whatever, it might be a good game to get their confidence up again, because there's a good chance they might be included in that Leicester game as well, and you could include Phillips in that as well, so I think it's a good opportunity as well for these players to stake their claim that I can step up in the quarterfinal, because it's still a quarterfinal, guys. You know, we get through, we're in the semi, it's great. So I think tomorrow's a good opportunity for some of those players to shine through and show, listen, I'm capable of stepping up.
Yeah, the only thing is it's against Leicester, and I think Leicester, you might see a mixed bag from them as well, because they're struggling a bit with injury. And not only
form
that,
as well.
Form. And they're going to want to be targeting the top four, and they're not really close at the moment. So they might be looking, going, we need to have a good, really good Christmas period, you know, the sort of way. So, but look, I think we're fairly agreed on that midfield. Now, up front, I think it's very interesting, and I'm going to throw it out there. I play Mane, I play Minamino, and I play Origi. And
same front three is mine.
Same front three.
Yeah. Chris?
Yeah, same front three.
Just to piss everyone off, I had Salah, right. Origi, Taki, and then you bring Mane on at halftime for Salah.
Okay. The reason I'm going with...
he's already broke his leg by then, Chris. Game over.
Don't be fucking saying things like that.
Okay. I'm not joking. He's not going to play Salah.
He'll be coming after you, Conroy.
I might be wrong. Salah might be hammering the door saying, listen, I want to get my goals up this season.
I think that's the thing that Klopp is dealing with. I think the likes of Salah are banging the door saying, I don't give a shit. It's a friendly... not friendly, but a dead rubber. I want my goals tally up. And I think it's managing that expectation. Plus, he hasn't signed his new contract yet, so you've got to keep him sweet to a point.
Yeah, the way I looked at it was, like, I think Minamino is going to come into, I said it again last night, he's going to come into sharp focus for me over the next six, eight weeks, and probably further on because of the AFCON and stuff like that. But getting that goal, for me, you just turn around and go, you know what, you got that goal, now there's a start, go out and do it again for me. Origi, you know, as Kev said, if it's a dead leg and he's over it, you put him in because that's what he's there for. When you need these games, you need to bring people in. It's just picking one of the other three then. And I opted for Jota. I wouldn't be going near Jota. No. Not a chance.
No.
It's
gutting that.
It's a hard choice, actually. It's a hard choice. And you might have an argument in Salah because I think Minamino will play off the left.
Yeah, it's good that Cade Gordon's not eligible because it would have been great to see him get
that. Would have been perfect,
but unfortunately, he's not eligible because he's not been in our academy long enough.
Yeah,
2 years. Yeah,
it's yeah. It's Bruce an interesting one. There's three of us gone with Manny.
That's what we'd all like to see, but I think what we will see is Tacky, Salah, and Manny. I think he'll bring Divock off the bench on the hour.
Right.
I think he'll want to go and get the game.
Hold on, you had a front three of Mane, Origi, Minamino, but you're telling me that's what I
want to see. That's what I want to see. But I think Klopp will play Mane and Salah and Tacky in a false nine. Okay. I think he'll play Tacky central.
Okay. And kind of go strong up front.
Just go and get the game won and then make changes on the hour and manage the game that way. I don't think he's going to look at these lads are going to want to play anyway. So whether it's to keep them sweet or whether he just wants to keep them in a rhythm after the Arsenal game, because let's face it, the Arsenal game aside, we haven't exactly been setting the world alight for a good few weeks. We've been all right without being spectacular. I mean, so
we remember a couple of years ago, we battered these 5-0 away in a quarterfinal. They had the home leg 0-0 because I was at that. And they brought Salah on for the last 10 minutes for a run-out.
Yeah.
And the whole cop was going berserk, going, what are you bringing him on for?
Yeah.
And because he was desperate to get to add a goal to his tally.
Exactly. I just feel that he might make sacrifices in certain areas of the pitch.
Mm.
But he's not going to throw a bunch of young'uns in there to just be torn apart.
Yeah, but if he goes Origi,
but I think that it goes into a mindset with a lot of the bit players. They know that they're the reserves, and we saw what happened against Preston. We were piss poor.
Yeah, that's a fair
even
point.
The senior players on that night were piss poor because they couldn't be arsed.
I don't think he goes near Jota. Jota, no, not a chance. The Salah stuff is interesting because you might have an argument because Minamino off the left. But, yeah, he could do Minamino down the middle and just put Mane and Salah each side of him. There's options there, in fairness. I thought this was going to be easy enough, and now he's completely fucked
just to piss everyone up. He'll put the normal front three in that.
Yeah, he just put the normal front three in, and that would be the end of it.
Jesus Christ almighty, the top right, the Twitter base will absolutely have shit.
Implode.
I think
will go out of business, they just won't be able to keep production up. Jesus.
I think, we talk about people like Solskjaer not having, being a top manager by putting, Ronaldo in wrestling when he should. Obviously, Klopp's an unbelievable manager, but this is where he's got to say, for me, if Salah plays tomorrow, I think that's the wrong decision. I don't care if you need to keep him sweet and all that stuff. You just tell him, right, we're competing for a Champions League in the Premier League. You're not playing tomorrow night. I think it's that simple. But we'll see what happens. But the fact you said that about Porto previously, Chris, that's kind of put a... it's kind of made me maybe think you could possibly be right, but I think that would be a mistake. But it's after Michelin. I feel like we need to learn lessons from that, and I feel like if we don't, you need to look at that.
I know we were qualified, but was it if we beat Michelin, we'd have topped the group.
Top of the group and finishing second.
Yeah,
this time there's nothing on it.
It was a dead rubber. I mean, not quite a dead rubber.
Drew anyway.
These two are proper dead rubber. There's nothing in it.
But
it's an interesting mistake. I'm going to put this graphic up here and see if people agree or disagree. Right. So there you go. So Origi, Mane, Minamino.
Origi has to play, Gav. He came on against West Ham when we were doing nothing and scored a great goal to get us back in it. And if he can't start this game, sometimes we say he's not the player for us because he's link up and press and stuff, but you need to give the guy a chance. He's more than earned a spot in this game.
Yeah, I think Origi definitely plays once fit. And I think if Origi starts and Minamino starts, he could put Minamino down the middle and Origi off the left. I just put him up front. He's a forward player.
I like Tacky in the middle.
I think
he's that busy player who can. It was interesting. Did you notice that today when Klopp was doing his press conference? He said Tacky was the first change for about five positions. So that's what they see him as. He can play across anywhere in the front three.
Because he doesn't know his base position. That's why
he can play either eight. He can play left or right mid.
The only reason he might do. Go on, sorry, Kev.
No, I was going to say, I think his best position is through the middle in a free role with players either side of him that he can link play up or play around.
I think his best position is in a 4-2-3-1 down the middle.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's what I think. I think someone ahead of him. I think the likes of a Jota's movement ahead of him.
He's a facilitator. That's what he is. He's
I think someone with Jota's movement ahead of him, I think he'd be really good with both of them boys out wide. Whereas I don't like Firmino in that position in a 10, in a 4-2-3-1, but I love him as a false nine. Because in a 10, it's not only what he does on the ball for me, Firmino, it's what he does off the ball as that false nine, and he just wrecks people's heads, and I love it. Mike Call 2025 says, Gav, what time is football in the world on? Phil says it's great. It's not fucking called football in the world. He's doing me fucking head in with this. It's called Man on Football Show, but Phil has decided it's called Football Close in enough. The World. He actually made a call last night for people to stop watching the LFC Day Trippers and just go and watch Football in the World. But don't do that. It's on this Thursday. I want to say 9:30, but I could be wrong. But if you go to at Man on Footy Show on Twitter, we'll have it all on Thursday. It's genuinely a channel where we're just having the laugh. So you're not going to see us flood your timelines or all sorts of shit. We're just going to announce that the show, and we're going to tell you what it's about, and we're going to do it. And I think we've done it tonight. There's about 30 people watching, and we had a fucking great time doing it.
Yeah,
we just had a great laugh.
Pesky Solido came back.
Yeah, Pesky Solido came back in. And not even that, just talking about Indonesian fella scoring mad own goals because he didn't want to play against the mafia inspired Borneo.
No, it was the cannibals.
I don't know what was going on, but it was great. But listen, that's what it's about. We're literally having a bit of fun with it. So Thursday, 9:30, 9:30. But it'll be on our Twitter page. And as soon as we set it to go live, it'll be on that YouTube thing. But if you like having a laugh and learning stuff, because I'm learning all the time, and stuff come up, and I was like, that can't be fucking true. And it turns out it was true. So there you go. But that's the crack with it. Emma Kavanagh says, he actually says it was great crack. It was just, and that's, listen, you get some in-depth stuff where we're, Thursday night is like where we do a bit of research and we put a bit of effort in. Monday is going to be either me on my own, could be me and fucking Keith, it could be me and anyone, just having a chat about all sorts of stuff, and that's what it should be. And Red Steve, Red Steve, he says, I might give it a go. What's it called? It's called Football in the World, Steve. Football in the World. Where are we going? We've about 5 minutes left. Go on, give us a score prediction before we move on quickly. Kev, score prediction.
3-2.
Nice.
I think there's goals for both sides.
Good stuff, Conroy.
I'll go for 3-2.
I think I'll go for, I was going to say 1-0. I'll say 2-1, and I'll say Minamino. And if Origi plays, he scores. So Minamino and Origi.
Okay, good stuff. 2-1. Chris?
And Diaz for Porto.
I'm going to go 3-1. Origi, Taki and Kanate.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. I think it'd be a bit of crack. And I'll have...
It could be anything. That's the thing, isn't it? And we're
I'll have Minamino and Thiago, please. That's what Thiago. I have.
If you would like that.
Nay says, I've been searching Man On last week and not finding anything. Just subscribe. If you type Man On !! Football Show, it'll definitely come up on your Spotify and your Apple Podcasts and in YouTube. But listen, literally in the show description, there's a thing there you can just click and it brings you.
Thanks,
to so it's all good. But don't come in thinking you're going to get graphs and fucking all sorts of stuff. You're literally getting a big mad chat about stuff. And then on a Monday, we're just picking a subject and going and see where we went off on all sorts of fucking tangents on Monday. Like we ended up in Borneo when we started off with Naeem and David Seaman. So that's how it went on Monday. If you haven't watched it or listened to it, go. It's available everywhere. Right, we all have us down with a win bar me. Is that right? Good.
Yeah.
I feel a bit like Phil now after doing that.
Can I add, Gav, about the Man On Football Show, which I think you need to bring up, right? Stenhouse Muir, I think, went 5 games unbeaten or some 3 games in a row unbeaten, but there's a really good story that the famous American actor, for some reason, I'll send you the link, randomly supports Stenhouse Muir, which is just like it's a small town in Scotland. And it's the actor who's in... He does that, you know, that thing that I'm not going to do the impression, but it's like,
You can't do it now.
Nah, I can't do the impression.
You have to do it.
he does like that. It's like, ah, she, like that guy, I can't remember, but it's on Twitter, but he's really famous and he randomly supports Dennis Muir, and it's fascinating. I'll send you the link. If anyone in the chat knows his name, it was quite popular. He's quite a few movies and stuff and TV series and that in America. But yeah, fascinating.
We've picked Elgin.
I know. Felt betrayed. Stenish Mears near me. Felt betrayed.
I think they drew one all tonight with Edinburgh City. David Lennon wants to know, is it on Periscope? No. Is it on MySpace? Is Thiago's hair? AKA Stefan. It's not on
MySpace. Is it on Bebo?
It's not on Bebo. It's on all your popular podcasts, fucking things, and YouTube. But genuinely, if you want to watch it, watch it. If you don't,
is it on TikTok, Gav? Is it on TikTok?
No, it's not on TikTok.
We're
not going down that line. We're literally just turning up twice a week, having a bit of crack of fucking off again. That's it.
Is that going to pop it up?
I was winding it a bit there, sorry.
Clay Davis from The Wire.
That's him. Stenish Muir fan. That's a crazy fact.
He's the dodgy. Is that the mayor? He's a senator.
He's not a property developer, isn't he?
No. He's a congressman or a
congressman.
Senator.
Yeah, he's something like that. He's
Rory, what a shout, mate! Yeah,
Rory only lives around the corner of me here. He could have told me tomorrow when I'm out walking the baby, but he's decided to tell us here now, which is cool. Clay Davis from The Wire. There you go. What else?
What a chat. What a community. You wouldn't get that anywhere else.
We could just stop talking about football and just go into all sorts of shit. Like, I love it.
Charlie's got it on his OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. Shawnee was on it, maybe. Shawnee's good enough. Good looking enough.
But shoulders, as you call them.
But yeah, listen, as I said, it's all a bit of crack. We don't take anything really fucking seriously, but this one we're definitely not taking seriously. Like, genuinely, if there's 10 people or 4 fucking thousand people watching us, we're just having a bit of crack. So go and check it out if you want. Thursdays on Mondays. Lads, anything else before we go? I was going to look into Southampton, but we'll get to that towards the end of the week. Anything else, Kev?
Anything else in
your mind that you want to get off your chest or anything like that?
Looking forward to Friday night. Myself and Chris are going to have a chat about whatever sport is coming up on the weekend. We'll have a look at the predictions and stuff. We'll do predictions for the weekend as well. Have a look at Southampton and see what's going on. There's not much actually going on this weekend, sports world-wise. Formula One is on a week off.
Everyone's gone mad into the Formula One, aren't
they? Yeah, there's two more races. Shut up, you. Two more races to go, and it's going to be absolutely cracking.
I've taken a bit of interest since the last maybe a month or so, and me and Kev had a chat on a Friday night about it, how I used to watch it a bit in the Murray Walker BBC One days, but now you're looking at it going, like, he's winning, but he's fucking pitting to get better tyres on so he can get the fastest lap to take a point off him. And there's so much going on now. Like, there's all sorts of races going on days before the main race and stuff. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, starting now next season will be sprint races on a Saturday and to determine qualifying and all that. They're all trying to do different things just to get more
people. Yeah, it's a bit watching. Like the snooker, isn't it? Where they just start doing mass. You only had 4 seconds to hit your shot. David Lennon wants to chat about golf. Tiger's back. Tiger is back swinging a golf club. He is. He's back.
That's good. Rory did all right at the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, I
fell away a bit in the last day.
Rory?
Yeah, he
hit a shot the other day and it was all over. It hit the flag and went back into the bunker. He ended up, it fucked him up. It was very, very, very bad luck. But listen, we won't get into the golf. Me and Andy are planning a golf thing. We were today. I must tell David Lennon about it, actually. Now that I think about it, because we want to invite him. And of course, Shawnee's son, we're going to play golf with him. Well, we were going to go and play golf with him in the new year, up at his golf club, but turns out he plays off. He's more or less a scratch golfer, so I don't know. I'll turn up, but I could end up just drinking. I'm just going to let you know that now.
That's cans.
Come here. I'm a golfer. I love it. I'm okay at it at times. I'm terrible at times, but I really, really enjoy it. But going out to play with a fella that plays off scratch, he's just expecting to be deadly on every hole. I'd rather go out and watch him play, genuinely. I'd rather just sit in the buggy and go.
You could carry for him.
Yeah, of course. But again, he might insist on me playing, which is fair enough. So that's how it is. Conroy, anything else before we go?
All good, mate. Great laugh, great chat, and hopefully none of our big players play tomorrow. That's the aim, so hopefully.
Okay, good stuff. Chris, anything else before we go?
Only shout out to LFC Women. Won again at the weekend. So I decided to go up to Sunderland Saturday night to watch them play. It was fucking freezing.
Yeah.
So I had the Liverpool game on my phone. So we beat Sunderland 3-1. So we're now 4 points clear because all the teams around us are going to drop points. So it's quite exciting.
Ney wants to talk about this. This is something for Phil. Phil would love this shit. I know I've mentioned Phil an awful lot tonight, but just the way the chat has gone, you don't mention him for months and then he just appears. Want to talk about Tuesday coming up. It's actually going to land on a Tuesday, on the 22nd of the 2nd, 22. It's going Tuesday, the 22nd of the 2nd, 22.
Oh, God, is that going to be another millennium bug type thing?
It's like, do you know what bugs the shit out of me? Know that May the 4th? I fucking hate that stuff. May the 4th, Darth Vader and shit going on. Fucking hell.
I mean, for God's sake, every year is going to be, that's the date that was in Back to the Future. That's the date. But the actual date when it was in Back to the Future was, what, 2015?
Well,
I think it was 2015.
May the 4th does me head in. Gav takes a lot of golfing so we can get out of the bunkers. I'm actually quite good out of bunkers, to be honest with you. I am quite good out of bunkers, and David Lennon will back me up on that. But Red Steve is just an absolute prick. I love him. He just never, ever, ever leaves me alone, which is the absolute crack. Stephen Dunn, Trippers Chats. Jesus, Trippers Chats. The glory years. We've tried to do Trippers Chats, but then people stop giving us mad stuff to talk about. They just ask us normal stuff, and normal stuff is shit. So if we could do a big Trippers Chats in the next international break, write all this stuff down. Chris, write all this stuff down for the next international break. And make sure to write it down properly now. Don't be writing the wrong stuff down. So
make sure you get the date right. It's March 2022.
March international break. Big Trippers Chats.
What about the Brazil friendlies in January?
Don't mind them.
No, we don't talk about that.
Big Trippers Chats. We have
quizzes
and drafts with listeners and viewers. Yeah. And Red Steve, he can fuck off. to be perfectly honest. Red Steve for president, says David Lennon. He I don't know what it is about Red Steve. He just doesn't like me. He just has a go at me all the time. But I actually look forward to it most nights.
He's very misunderstood.
Yes, but if he wants to come over, if that's his way of asking to come over a game of golf with me, he can't. But the only thing I will say is when you go playing golf with me, you need to bring cans and stuff like that. And, you know, it's all about having a good time.
So you're not one of these people who are militant about the rules and stuff, are you?
No, I'm actually against that. Wine testing with Andy and Gav, I wouldn't drink wine. Would you fucking stop it? Andy can drink wine. I'm not a wine drinker. No, I'm not at all. I've played with some people now and they literally walk around with the PGA fucking in that bag. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I went out, the last time I played golf was a couple of weeks ago because I've just been mad busy. And I went out and I played with a relative of mine. And both hit tee shots, both went down the right-hand side. I found mine. I said, yours is literally beside mine. You know, went in, couldn't find it. I just said, just drop it beside mine and just play it as two. You know, usually if you lose a ball, you have to drop a shot. I just play it as your second. Like, we know it was there. You know what I mean? We're just still playing a game of golf. Now, don't get me wrong. I play competitions all the time. And you have to stick to rules and you have to kind of ask. Yeah, but if you're playing a random game of golf and a ball goes into a bit of grass and you happen not to find it, just drop it somewhere and play it, will you? I'm not fucking spending 5 minutes looking for it. But, David Lennon says, Gav needs Prozac on the course. He gets angry. I do get angry sometimes. I do. Not just as stupid things. You know, there's hard shots to hit and you don't hit them. You're not a professional, but there is certain things where I go bananas. Absolutely bananas, but that's what it's about. But I do love a few drinks. Let me see. Tor reckons that Red Steve is the league owner of the day trippers. Well, league owner is much nicer to me than Red Steve is, to be perfectly honest with you. So, I don't know. Now, I like this. And if this can happen, why are we doing this? Let's do it. Fuck it. The people listening to the audio after this will be going, what the fuck's going on? But don't forget to leave us a rating and review. The day trippers need to come to California. Mad golf this side. I'd love to go to America and play golf. One of the things I'd love to do, and Annie can come with me if you want, go to America for about 3 months and drive around it playing golf. I would fucking love nothing more than to do that. Actually, if it wasn't America, believe it or not, it's Scotland. I'd love to get a
some cracking courses up.
You know, like a camper van or like one of these, not a bit bigger than a camper van, but literally go around and drive.
Like an RV.
An RV.
Yeah, like, yeah, well, not American RV, but you know, the.
Yeah, like the standard one.
European version of one. And I'd love to do that because I watch a YouTube channel called Golf Mates, and they've been up in up around Elgin, actually, loads playing golf. So
you go to a match as well, go to a match and go to a distillery. And
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking. This is a true story.
A match, golf, distillery.
There's two distilleries in Elgin that do their own whiskey. They're very, very good.
Well, listen, I can stay there for a couple of days and visit the boat. David Lennon says he hit a house on my course. Now, that's a true story. So what happened was, I played 9 holes, played well, and just from 10 onwards, and I think the hole he's talking about might be the 13th on his 10, 11, it might be the 12th. But basically, Andy was on my team, and I said to Andy, well, I hit a big draw here. And he said, yeah. Now, I can't draw a golf ball, you know, unless I practice it. I took out the driver, hit this driver, it went up and, like, I mean, snow on it, and it came down and hit the roof of a house down the left-hand side of the fairway, to which David Lennon replied, that's Neil Lennon's gaff. And I went, look, there's nothing I can do about it. But sometimes you play well. It was 32 degrees in heat that day, so that's how it goes. So I can't keep going on about golf, lads. I have to go. I'd love to. Maybe we can set up a golf channel.
No winners or losers for you?
Golf in the world. There's no winners and losers this week. But the losers, of course, are Arsenal. Arsenal all around. That's it. Sorry for keeping you and talking about golf and David Lennon slagging me and stuff like that, and Red Steve being a wanker. But that's just the way it goes. Thanks a million to Conroy. Thanks a million to Kev. Thanks a million to Chris. This has been the Midweek Fix. We shall talk to you soon. Over and out. Sports Social Podcast Network.